Hey everyone, you're on Inverse, a Bible study guide show for young adults and those who have young hearts as well. We want to welcome each one of you, whether you're watching on video or listening on podcast. We're in the studio here with our cool accoutrement with Jonathan and Israel and Callie, and I want to say hi to you guys while here.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, you're here too.
Yeah, okay, good. And hello to each one of you. I want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org. You can download our Bible study guide. The topic that we're studying, we are in lesson eight of the three cosmic messages. You can also download them on your app if you update your app. If you go to your Apple and your Android platforms and search Sabbath School on the blue iconed app with that was created by AdventTech. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, if you know your Bibles, it talks about the Ten Commandments. And Callie, before we read from the Bible, can you ask for the Lord's blessing?
For sure. Father in heaven, we are grateful that you have brought us here for this time. I pray that you would take any distractions from us as we open your word together. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we see things clearly, and I pray that we would really see Jesus' love, that we would see the purpose of the Sabbath for us personally and as your children as a whole. And may we leave this time with equipped in practicality in every day and also with a better understanding of what's to come in the future. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This episode is entitled The Sabbath and the End. And we've talked a lot about the Sabbath. And we've even have a whole 13 episode arc on it. We encourage you to go to hopetv.org/inverse, and you can download that entire series, 30-minute episodes on the Sabbath. But this specific episode is about the Sabbath and the end in the context of the three angels' messages. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And Jonathan, mm-hmm. Do you mind praying or reading this text for us?
Sure. Let's read. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger, who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Great. And it's a similar text, but if you can put your finger in Exodus and then go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Mm. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15.
40 years later.
40 years later, thank you.
More or less.
200 pages later also, verse 12 through 15. And Israel, if you can read that for us.
Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servants and your female servant may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
Okay, so let's start with the obvious. Hey, that Sabbath day, that seventh day, that's not a Jewish thing. That's an Old Testament thing. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it before. What's just a quick response to that when people say that, hey, that's just so that we enter into the conversation on the same page. Mm-hmm. What can we say to that?
I mean, obviously the Sabbath commandment was rooted in the creation account. Mm-hmm. It says that, you know, go keep the seventh day because the Lord created. Mm-hmm. And so creation is long before the Jewish people existed, mm-hmm. Long before the Ten Commandments were spoken in this way. And so we see that the seventh-day Sabbath is something that's foundational to creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kelly?
Exactly.
No, is that what you say? Okay.
Yep.
I would also say, in addition to that, no qualms with that, I will just say that this is the Ten Commandments. I mean, this is God's mm-hmm. law from his throne. And we put place a lot of emphasis on the other nine. Mm-hmm. Why not the one with his actual name on it? Well, in a future episode, we will talk about this more. But it has his name, his jurisdiction, his title, mm-hmm. his jurisdiction,
his
seal, elements of his seal are there.
Yeah.
And we see that in both.
Yeah, Kelly? It's the only one that says remember too. Mm. It's the only one that's saying like I'm drawing from previous material kind of. Of course, all these other things were still true. It's not like God's like now these are bad things. I'm just now making them so. But it's also showing this was already a reality, you know, far beyond.
Mm-hmm. And then the cool other study is you have Exodus 20 and you have Deuteronomy 5. There's some things are very similar, and then there's some things that are totally different. Mm-hmm. And so, what do we observe there?
Whereas the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus remind us about God as our creator. Mm-hmm. When we read the account in the book of Deuteronomy, it also talks about the fact that he's our redeemer. He delivered us. Mm-hmm. And because he delivered us, in that case, he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. But all of us have our own Egyptian experiences, right? Mm-hmm. We have our own Egypts where we were in bondage to our habits. We were in bondage to ourselves, to this world. And he led us with his outstretched arm. We did not deliver ourselves. He delivered us. And because he delivered us and continues to deliver us, then the Sabbath is a reminder of the fact that our lives are in the hands of God, that he will take care of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, what other memorial or what other practice or what other thing do we have that points to creation and redemption in Jesus? Mm-hmm. That's that dual connection anchor. There's, you know, we have communion service or foot washing. They point to Redeemer. They point to humility. They point to his sacrifice. But Creator, there's not a lot of things that are like, I do this because he created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember my dad, one time we got in an argument, he's like, I created you. And I'm like, I just thought about it. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, like just in the middle of adolescence when you're always, you know, rejecting the authority of your parents, are like, oh no, you're my dad. You're my dad. And so now with my own children, I'm like, I create. Ultimately, it's the Lord who created all of us, but we do pull from that divine authority what we need.
How to raise your kids with Justin Kim. Yeah. Today's episode.
Yeah. By God's grace.
There's another element too that the Sabbath points us to, and that's just not our past as in terms of our creation, our present in terms of our redemption, but also our future. You know, the Bible talks about from Sabbath to Sabbath, we will be celebrating this time with the Lord. And so I think it reminds us not just of the past and the present, but also the future victories, you know, that when creation, as it were, will be at peace and we will be able to experience just full communion with Christ without the barrier of sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I just add one more layer to the Sabbath? If we go to Exodus 31.
Exodus 30.
31 and here verse 13.
31:13.
I just want to read real quick. It says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Mm. And it continues on and it talks a lot about Sabbath being a sign of our covenant, our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Here in particular, he says, it's a sign for the fact that I am the one who sanctifies you. I'm the one that can bring lasting transformation into your life, who makes you holy. The Sabbath, we keep it holy, but it also makes us holy to be in God's presence. So the Sabbath is a very, very foundational, but also all-encompassing experience that goes beyond just going to church. Mm-hmm. It has to do with our relationship with God, the transformational experience that comes with it, and it becomes a sign and a symbol throughout history, really into all eternity. You log in Isaiah 66, it talks about, you know, we're going to keep the Sabbath in eternity. And in the end times, which was we were kind of focusing on, it also becomes a very important sign of faithfulness.
Very good, very good. In comparing Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, any other elements that you see there that some commonalities or differences?
A difference that stands out to me is, one, how many more animals are mentioned.
Yes,
yeah,
that is like, an interesting
thing. I'm going to be more specific.
Yes.
And also onto that is how specifically it calls out the application in verse 14. So he talks about the animals, but
verse
also Deuteronomy 5.
Deuteronomy 5, okay.
Yeah. And it says, you know, it talks also about the servants, and it's like, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you, in case you didn't catch on why I was saying that. Because it says also that they should rest in Exodus 20, but that, you know, application parenthesis isn't there.
Mm-hmm. It's a really cool element. Like, we know that God wrote the law with his finger, and just he's like, you know, and your son and your daughter,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and your manservant, and your manservant, and your donkey, and your armor. It's like, Lord, I get it. I was like, no.
You do not get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does that mean? You know, he's placing this into the divine Ten Commandments.
Yeah. You know? When a lot of my Seventh-day Adventists and non-Seventh-day Adventist friends ask me why I keep the Sabbath in the way that I do, mm-hmm. I point to this verse a lot because I talk about how the Sabbath isn't just about me resting, but about me sharing that rest with my sphere as much as lies within my power. And so I can't force anyone to rest
yes.
any more than God does yes. because that's not my authority.
Yes.
And so, but I should extend it and invite it and make it as much of a possibility for everyone within yes. my influence and jurisdiction mm-hmm. as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. Ideally, it mentions also the stranger within your gates. This is yeah. non-Jews, you know, yeah. non-believers mm-hmm. are invited into this experience.
Yes.
And as, you know, God's original intention for Israel was to really, you know, become a light to the world. And so people were, there was a lot of, you know, business and traffic throughout Israel, you know, because they had to go to Africa or to Asia or to Europe. It was right in the center. People coming through there mm-hmm. would experience the Sabbath blessing, even though they were not part directly of the covenant people.
Yeah.
And that is also shows us that we are to invite as many as possible into this experience. And whenever we do have influence, mm-hmm. We should make sure that the people in our sphere on the Sabbath day do not have to engage in any, you know, labor or whatever it is.
They're not doing our work for us.
Yes.
That's not what the commandment says.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it how it says, as you, that your manservant, your male servant, your female servant will rest as you rest, mm-hmm. right?
As well, yeah.
As well as you. And I think the sadder reality of the times in which we live is that from a religious perspective, the Sabbath has received a beating, you know, mm-hmm. and part of it has to do with the fact that we mistreat the Sabbath ourselves. You know, we as Sabbath keeping individuals sometimes make it a burden on ourselves. And because of that, we translate that burden to other people and other people mm-hmm. don't appreciate it. Whereas the whole purpose,
that's so true.
You know, whereas the whole purpose yeah. of the Sabbath was. So this is kind of what I'm thinking. When we talk about the Sabbath with people, we normally give them a Bible study. Mm-hmm. You need to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is on Saturday, not on Sunday. La-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. And because of these scriptural, you know, truths, you have to keep it.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I get the impression that the opposite takes place in the commandments, that the whole purpose of it was to invite people yeah. into the Sabbath. And as they benefit and as they enjoy the beauty and the benefits of the Sabbath, then they would ask themselves a question.
Why do you do this?
Why do you do this? Oh, it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, but mm-hmm. it's the Word of God that has given this to us. And so I think that the purpose of the Sabbath has an evangelistic component to it.
Yes.
In that we're supposed to use it as a means to draw people
attraction.
To God instead of distancing
repelling.
Ourselves from
yeah.
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say another aspect, sorry, was that, you know, it levels the play field,
uh-huh.
That everyone, the Sabbath is for everyone.
It's for mm-hmm. everyone.
It's not just for, okay, the privileged few. It's like everyone, and you're not better than the other.
Yeah.
We're all invited
the
into
animals.
This. Including the animals.
The fact that the yeah. animals are mentioned is just a really cool
like
thing.
By different
how kinds. How do you all make your animal, how do you invite your animals to keep the Sabbath, for those of you who have animals. We'd
special
love to hear
treats.
From you online if your cat and dog, farmer. You know, if they're...
Well, it's not talking about...
This is cattle.
The cattle.
Yeah, it's talking about donkeys and cattle, and I think it's referring to beasts of burden.
Yes, okay.
Right? Yeah.
So our cars.
Yeah. Yeah, our cars. Well, if our cars
if were alive.
Beings,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what Jesus is referring, or what God is referring to here is the fact that even those that you consider to be most insignificant.
Yes, exactly.
The animals that carry
very cool.
your stuff, even they ought to rest on the Sabbath. I care even about them.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
You already care. You care too much about your cats and dogs. You know, we care about our cats and dogs more than we care about God. God's like, you know what? You might worship them a little too much there, but
blue.
Yeah, that's
going to be
this week on Embers.
Worshiping our cats and dogs.
With Israel.
Let's see, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. So connect us. We've been talking about Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Sabbath points to creation. So we have creation. And we got Sabbath. And then we're in this, you know, three angels messages motif on the judgment. And then Jesus is coming, you know, in the future. Like, can we link these all together for us? What is the connection between the last days and then Sabbath keeping? What's the connection there? Callie, and then
go ahead, Callie. So the Sabbath is, we'll talk about it in the future in other episodes in a much more like Daniel Revelation way. But the Sabbath is a very fundamental commandment because it's the only one that explicitly talks about that this is because God is the creator. Mm-hmm. He talked about that has God's seal in it by his name and his title and his territory. And something else that kind of sticks out to me about the Sabbath commandment too is it's not in any other, aside from like, you know, Satan's attempts to sabotage it, it's not in other religions and ideologies. Like others will say like, yeah, you know, don't sleep with someone else's wife, don't kill people, don't have other idols, but it's like,
it's common morality.
Yeah, exactly. You could be like, people be like, that's common sense. Like worship on this day. It's like,
not common morality.
That's kind of random.
Yes.
To kind of be so uptight about God. And so to have that to be God's thing, as it were, like God is like, yeah, this is the thing that I'm asking you to do to show that I am the Lord of your life, that I am your Savior, and that shows your loyalty to me. And so it becomes a big deal. It becomes something that shows where we are in our hearts and where we are in our relationship with Christ in the end days, because it is so different and it can't be bunched together with other things later on.
Yeah, you know, as you were sharing that, I was thinking our experience of salvation, because we said Sabbath, Deuteronomy says Sabbath is a sign of your redemption. We believe that we are justified and sanctified by faith, by resting in Christ's work for us, right? And the Sabbath is exactly signifying that as we rest, we acknowledge our need for God to rejuvenate us, our need for God to connect with God, and to give him that time to do his work in our lives. But the Sabbath becomes almost a visible, physical illustration of the fact that we are saved by resting in Jesus, by trusting in his righteousness. And so that is, I think, something that we should not forget in all this, because often the Sabbath has, to some, can become a very legalistic thing when it's supposed to be the complete opposite. It's a sign of salvation by faith. And so we rest in Christ by also resting on the Sabbath.
Yeah, in my brain, like, I know what you mean by rest, but rest just sounds like sleeping to me, and I know that's not what God's talking about. It sounds like he's tired, or we're tired, or and that's how a lot of people do keep Sabbath. Oh, it's my God-given right to take a vacation on this day. But I think that's further. There's nothing from further from the truth. In my brain, the way I look at it is, it's a day of not doing. You know, whereas 6 days you should do, but on the seventh day you don't do. And that not doing, we are known as the people of the God of not doing. You know, and in his not doing, he does all these miraculous, cool stuff. And just, you know, in the New Testament, not doing is another word for grace, you know? And we've talked about this multiple times, but I mean, I'm just continuing your point even further. Like, we should be known for the grace of the Sabbath, but we make it into the doing of the Sabbath and the keeping and then the legalistic component of it. It's just so easy to get into. On the irony of it is just, you gotta laugh at it.
And this, even the further irony is it, is like, we do make it the Sabbath about the not doing on the Sabbath, but the legalistic version, like, I don't do this on the Sabbath, and I don't do that.
Right.
So it's like,
yeah, even that we make it.
Right, it's we're just taking all the wonderful things and then
And then in the light of the last days and times, we need to rely on God's grace even further and rest and dwell and not do, not in the not do, but in the in the not do way. But we make it into, oh, it's the last day, so there's extra stuff that we have to do, or there's other stuff that I haven't done. Like, we treat the Sabbath, our interaction, our relationship with Sabbath is often the same interaction we have with this ambiguous last days-ness too. You know, there's a certain behavioral component there.
It's quite significant that, sorry.
No, go for it.
It's quite significant that the Sabbath in the last days becomes this sign of faithfulness. And really is God's faithfulness to us primarily. And our response to him is, you know, our surrender and our faithfulness to him. But it is amazing that God chose this as his sign in the when the pressures of the last days are on. This is going to be the thing that things are decided upon. And that that sign has to do with grace and salvation by faith. And it's not about like, you know, he could have picked anything else, you know, but he picked that. Mm-hmm. And to the whole world, Sabbath keeping will become, this appeal to trust in God, rest in him. He's good. Like, come into this. We invite the whole world into Sabbath, you know, in these last days. It's kind of amazing how God, you know, throughout history has woven the Sabbath into the fabric of what it means to live with him.
Yes.
And then it becomes this pivotal kind of, the tip of the iceberg.
The iceberg, yes.
Yeah, in the last days.
It's a beautiful sign. It's a beautiful mark, a beautiful seal, a beautiful outward manifestation of what's happening on the inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we see that this will play a larger role in the last days in Revelation. And we can't talk too much, but we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Israel. Yeah. So when it comes to the Sabbath, and we've talked about how beautiful it is and all of these different things, which is all true, as we get closer and closer to the times, to the coming of Christ, what we call the last days, right? Our desire to follow Christ and to be like him should intensify. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about the fact that throughout history, people have died because of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Really, when we talk about people dying because of Sabbath, they're dying because they rather obey God rather than choose life itself, right? I mean, it shows you the importance of the Sabbath as something more than just this is a great day to be a part, right? Mm-hmm. The Sabbath, it incorporates what we believe about God's character. And it also demonstrates what we believe about ourselves. I mean, the ultimate fundamental exposure that the Sabbath provides for us is it opens to us who we are, right? And the fact that we are dependent on God, because that was really the whole point in the Old Testament, right? I mean, these people could not harvest on the Sabbath. They couldn't do all of these different things that they used in order to sustain themselves. They had to pause on the Sabbath. Mm. And so the Sabbath is a reminder over and over and over again that we have to depend on God. We depend on God's power. He will save us from sin. He will deliver us. We will depend upon his wisdom, right? There, you know, how in the world do I get more out of 6 days than I will get out of 7 days, right? We depend upon his love. If I really love God, I will do what he says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, is what Christ said, right?
Mm.
So the Sabbath at its very, very foundation shows us and it tests whether or not what we say about ourselves to God is true. We say, God, we love you. We depend on you. You're the best. We want to worship you. You created us. You redeemed us. And then he says, okay, the Sabbath then, in the last days, will demonstrate when things get tough, when things begin to really, really test your religion, then it will be an indicator as to whether or not you really say you are who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the role that the Sabbath plays specifically in the last days. It will show whether or not we are serious about our claims about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. As you are all talking, and I asked this question before, and we talked about worship and the beauty of true worship, and I was like, man, that's what we said. What we talked about worship sounds so awesome, and we talked about true Sabbath keeping. What we talked about is like that sounds so beautiful, and like man, true Sabbath keeping, true worship, and then our relationship with Jesus, that sounds so beautiful. But there's a disconnect, and maybe some of our listeners and watchers out there may experience that their Sabbath experience doesn't match the beauty of what we talked around this table. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, and I know Sabbath is a day of not doing, of day of rest, but is there anything that we can do or not do or be cognizant of on some action on our end? Or maybe should I even be asking this question? I don't know, but of transforming our Sabbath experience rather than just rushed church at 9:30 and get back home by 1 o'clock. Because that, in many people, does not have the beauty of the theology that we're talking around this table.
Yeah.
And in light of end times and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Callie and then Jonathan and Israel.
I'll let y'all talk about how to make it special for kids because I got nothing on that. But I would say one big thing is focusing on what it is and not on what it is not. Focusing on what it brings, and that is the freedom from work, mm-hmm. the freedom from stress, the freedom from homework assignments, the freedom, like you have a...
To accentuate that freedom.
Yeah, like you have all, you have like a commandment from God not to study for your exams right now.
Yeah.
Consider that a gift from
Jesus.
Yeah,
hey, that's good. That's good.
Like Jesus commanded you not to study.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen.
Because we do often accentuate not what not to do, but not the freedom aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts I have on this. And I'm not here to flip the tables, but I have made this comment before. I do think that we need some kind of reformation of how we do church on the Sabbath, so, you know, or at least an openness to maybe consider some
something
other ways,
else.
Something else. Again, I'm not saying like, oh, don't go to church and just spend time in nature and, you know, and think happy
but
thoughts.
There are people
but
who do that.
Which
but
I'm not saying it's wrong,
yeah.
but I'm saying...
I'm saying you can do that. I'll say it.
Yeah. But...
It does say to assemble ourselves together, too.
It does.
Does it
have to be every Sabbath? That's the
Amen.
Question.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, Israel is over there judging me.
Be confident, Jay. I got you.
Go ahead.
I support you.
I'm saying that I think we should have a certain openness to just consider not just, okay, there's this formal way of doing this church and da-da-da-da-da-da, and that's the only way. But, hey, why can't we have a different kind of Sabbath gathering? Mm-hmm. It can be in nature. Let's just share testimonies, you know. Let's just sing.
Yeah.
Let's just not, you know, I think it's just a flexibility shows more of more real life, especially to young people. If all the experience is the same thing every week, it's going to be this almost legalistic, you know.
Okay, flexibility, freedom, yes. and yeah. Israel.
I agree with a lot of what Jonathan is saying. Church is not
didn't look like that.
The Sabbath does not have to take place in between walls. Mm. I think we cannot expect our Sabbath experience to be a Sabbath experience if our weekday experience is not what a weekday experience ought to be. Mm-hmm. And too many times we turn God on and off, turn him on the Sabbath, turn him off the rest of the week.
So experiencing freedom, experiencing flexibility, and experiencing God throughout the week, not just on one day of the week. That's my takeaway from Sabbath and the end on this episode. We want to encourage you to take the Lord seriously, to take his word seriously, especially in light of the three angels' messages that we've been studying. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week as we continue this accentuated apex in the book of Revelation. God bless you.